Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Today is Sunday, March 12th, 2023, the Lord's Day. We're listening to episode 725 of the Overseas Connection podcast. We are a gaming podcast. If you're not familiar with us, we like to talk about video games, what's going on in the industry. Let's talk about life stuff, what's going on in our personal lives. It's an entertaining show at the end of the day. We do get a little bit on the vulgar side from time to time, so definitely adult rated. That's a skinny on the show. My name, Greg DeLacy, gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. Joining me today, I have our software engineer, Robin Tate.
Hello
Robin.
There. Hiya, it's me, Robin Tate here. I am an old man in Ballymena in Northern Ireland. Good evening, everybody.
Here we go again, indeed. And also joining the show, Miss Kim Woods.
I am not an old man, but...
No, you are not an old man.
That's me. I'm Gamergirl, 27, just about everywhere. And right now I'm in chilly Missouri, so spring's coming, supposedly.
Did you have snow?
We did. We did have snow yesterday.
Dump of snow on Thursday.
Yeah.
You know what I have not had?
Snow. Bastard.
We have rain, but no snow.
We had both yesterday. Rain, sleet, the whole package.
Yeah, I had hail on Friday. Does that count?
All right.
It's almost snow. It's frozen.
Almost.
It's frozen water. It's
hail, right? Greg.
hail, Greg.
Hail, Greg, indeed. All right. listen, we do this every Sunday, 9 p.m. in the UK, and then it varies.
Yeah. Right?
Sometimes it's, when the world is right and we're not having to change time zones, it's 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. on the East Coast, 3 p.m. out in that central time zone area. But today, because we still are dealing with time changes, hopefully, cross your fingers, this is the last year I believe it's going to be, for the U.S. at least. So we sprang our clocks forward, and so we are on a little later than normal, 2 p.m. out on the West Coast, and figure it out from there. We are on Twitch. We are on YouTube. That's where we like to showcase ourselves live. And then, of course, we do an audio version of the podcast. So if you're like John Wilson, you can get your groove on while you're doing your yoga and listen to us in your ear as you're stretching. All right. That's the skinny. That's the main stuff. Now we're going to dive into what we've been playing.
Shall we play a game?
I want to play a game.
You are one pathetic loser.
Hurtful.
I feel offended right now. I am triggered. You just called me a loser. Damn it.
Right?
All right.
Pathetic at that.
Pathetic. So, you know what? I'm sorry. Phil, I am so sorry. I forgot to introduce you. Phil also joining us. Phil, I don't know if we have a last name or is this just Phil? Is it Filthy? Is that what we're going with here?
That'll do.
Okay. Phil's camera's off. His microphone not working, of course. You know, technology failing us, but he is definitely here in mind and matter. And so I think it's quite a stunning picture of Phil that you found.
Well, he looks great in this, doesn't he?
Yeah, I believe this was sixth grade when he was in elementary school. So
the earring is a new thing with Phil, isn't it? It's, maybe. I mean, it looks like he went to the sauna maybe one time too many.
Yeah. Well, this is when he was happy because he was still eating bacon. all right, let's talk about games, guys. Who wants to go? Robin, I'm going to make you go first.
I am going to go first.
Let's start with you.
I am going to go first here, if you don't mind. So let's get some set of course on. So a set of course, I did get several races in. Hold on, where are we now? Kyalami, I got... 4 races in this week. 2 sessions of 2 different nights. And... I made some good groovy little videos, one of which is playing now on the stream And it is crunch time in ACC Land Season 9 of ACC, the low-fuel motorsport coach Dave Sprint Series. So the way the season works, there's 12 races and your 10 best count. So as a little nerd today, I made a spreadsheet. And I actually wanted to do last season.
Oh, you just went absolutely muted.
What'd
you do now? Keep talking. You're back.
I'm back. That's weird. It just said the microphone changed. Don't know about that. Okay. We'll ignore. The 10 best races are the 12 count. So I was doing a comparison, not all the same circuits from last season into this, but I wanted to have a look at, one, my average qualifying position, my average finishing position, and the times of the tracks that did cross over, which is, again, very nerdy, but it's a progression thing, I suppose. It sort of shows... how you've done and how well you've gone. So in the tracks that what we doubled up on in the season, I've improved by about 2 seconds per lap, which is a hell of a lot as this goes. Right. Now, I had set myself some targets here for this season, and that was to have some good top 10 finishes and maybe a few top fives. And out of the 10 races that we've had so far, I have had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 top 10 finishes, and 1, 2, 3, 4 top fives, and 1 win, which is nice. Which is pretty cool. So with two races to go, so I'm looking at the races that I've what I need to do. I'm 70th in the championship right now, and I have to
Let me ask you a quick question before we dive further. So when you're saying you're 70th in the championship, are they going to do like a championship series? Or in other words, you qualify into the championship and then they have a series of races of just the like top 20 or whatever. And it's, or is it just kind of finishing standing
in the top? I'm in Division 4, right? So Division 1, you're like aliens. So my one of my targets was to get out of Division 4 and get into Division 3 by the end of the season. I have a bit of work to do there, even though I'm in that top end. So I need to have 2 really good finishes. I had, there's no money involved for me at this point or anything like that. There, it's just purely racing against myself. So I had 2.
Questions. Is there actual money involved here? Okay. Are you paying like a fee to get into this league?
No. This is sponsored by Coach Dave. And Coach Dave is I believe Dave something or other. He is a real life racing, used to be driver, now a big team owner, and I think he's Australian. And what Coach Dave is they sell setups for cars in various games. So they have experts out there that get safe setups, average setups, fast, wet, and you can buy them. So that's how they make their money. You buy a set of setups for one car for all of the tracks. It's probably about 20 or 30 quid. I've done that.
Have you? Oh, you have
particular. Yeah. Because it's a really, I don't have the time to spend. I mean, there's so many things you can adjust on these, the suspension, roll bars, you name it. So it sets up, it's a good baseline. It's not perfect because you still have to adjust your tire temperatures for the ambient temperatures of the track and stuff like that there. Because there's a magic temperature of your tires, or sorry, I should say not temperature of the tires, PSI pressure is 27.7 PSI is the perfect, which you try to get all 4 tires to in a dry, and that it helps with that. So I do some, as I get more and more into it, I make more and more tweaks to the car. They sponsor this. And in LFM, there's about 4 different seasons going on. I'm in the sprint series, which is 25-minute races. Then there's a 45-minute by Speedy Rugs. I think they do the mats that go under rigs and lots of accessories. And then there's another company, Case Kings, which is PC cases. So there's different leagues. But I think the top end is like $15,000 or $20,000.
Okay,
so there is big money there for some of these guys. Anyway,
I expect a lot from you now.
Yeah. So I've got two races that I've done very badly in this year, which was in Spain and Catalonia, and in Germany and Nuremberg, which I had a 14th place and a 19th place. So I can what I need to target this week and over this time period is to try and finish better. The top 15 get points. Good points. So I want a couple of top tens there, and that'll be above my expectations. Now we're back in America for this week's race in Watkins Glen, which is a class track, and I done a few laps. I had 45 minutes free in my schedule this afternoon, and I came out and turned some laps. And looking at last season's times, I was at qualifying time was a 1:45.665, and I got it down today into the 1:44.994 just in, but still, it's still faster than last, and with a bit of practice, yeah, that should be improving. Good. So yeah. Funny, I get asked quite a little bit to play other games and do other racing stuff, and my time is so limited for this, even though I get quite a bit of content out on YouTube and stuff like that there, and there was shorts and there was several videos and stuff this week. My time is so limited with my life. Work, family is just nutty. That I can't... I love playing games. I love playing racing games. But to spread myself out around...
This has become like your jam.
Yeah, and iRacing and stuff like that there. I'm a competitive beast, and I want to be good at this. So if I spread myself over lots of other stuff, I'm taking away from the practice time or the race time that I have here. So,
And I can vouch for this. We've invited you to play with us numerous times. Sorry. And you basically just told us to fuck off.
Basically, yeah. Yes.
Well, not quite. No, I didn't.
Real quickly, for those in the chats, you may be wondering why we're starting a little late, or the time might be messed up, or our process is different. We're switching things up a little bit, but we also got a late start because of daylight savings time. Mm-hmm. Unless you're in the UK, in which case it's starting right on time. But we did switch up the order in which we're covering things. So this is the start of the show. You haven't missed anything. Lord. Hang in there, Lord. Yeah.
Yeah. So So that's kind of where I am. It's been good. The first race that I had was the video I've done for it is the Kyalami. We're in South Africa, the Kyalami Bad Boy. So like two races, one of which was... it was really fun, but I was a dirty bugger. I mean, there was a bit of door bumping and other bits and pieces going on all the way through it. In fact, at the end of the race, one chap called, and it was very funny actually, the video, if you watch the video, there was two guys in it. There was a guy called Brown, a fellow called Kevin Brown from the US, and this guy called Castilhos from Brazil, I think it was. He's in this yellow car, which is you'll see on the screen. And we fought. We had fantastic racing all the way through. Unfortunately, towards the end, I actually touched the Castillo's backside and spun him out. He finished behind me. But the Kevin Brown guy as well was so funny because he spun out. I didn't touch him. It was very, very close. But in the video, it's done like a slow motion, him spinning, and I have sad piano music playing. And it was good. But it was all action. It was all pretty... I think I only finished 12th or something like that there from the back. But it was a fantastic race. It was really intense and pretty arms out. Where the second race, which I had a really good fifth place in... it was professional, clean, tidy, really good. Lots of really good overtaking. But the Castillos guy was in the second race as well. And he had qualified way, way ahead of me. And in the first race, he got punted out. So he was coming from behind. And I was behind him, and I give him a little flash of the lights just to go, "Hey, I'm coming." And we got really, really, really close at one point. And he actually pulled over and let me past. He let me go. Wow. He's like, this guy's crazy. So still enjoying it. We're into week 11 and 12 of the last bit. You can catch all the action and the fun on my Bongos Bits Robin Tate YouTube channel. And the videos, I've had a laugh making the videos too. So watch those. Come and like and subscribe and cheer an old fella on. It's great. Kim was in the stream the other night for a while as well. And Step J drops in quite a bit. And there's Matthew Bird and there's Loan. And there's a rake of people dropping in right now. And the subscriptions, it's been a tough old go, but it's creeping up. It's creeping up. Sure. Content more.
You're dedicating time to it, and that's important.
Yeah.
And that's what it takes.
So content
to really grow a YouTube channel.
Regular content, good, funny, and or informative content. And it's been lovely. So having a good time with it. So
good. That's important.
Yeah.
That's I mean, why would you be doing this if you weren't having fun? Come on. Okay, Kim.
Yes.
Let's talk about Game of the Year.
Right. Played some more Hi-Fi Rush.
By the way, I'm Amazon still along with it. Packages. In case anyone's wondering.
Gotcha. I did find out in the settings that you can change it to where you only have to mash one button instead of a whole bunch of buttons. So that's been kind of nice because, unfortunately, I don't want to sound like some old fogey or something, but when you're doing some of those and they want you to hit the X button like a repeated number of times and then they want you to jump over to like the B button and then the Y button like really freaking quick, sometimes my brain just doesn't compute.
You know, I can because you're getting old.
Probably, yeah. I could just blame it on my disability and play that card. But wait,
anyway. You're not playing that card, young lady. No way.
But anyway, yeah. So I did find out you could set it to where it's only the one button. I mean, you still have to push it the required amount of times. And if you've got to hold it, you've got to hold it or whatever. But it's only the one button. Like, I don't have to do X, like, three times, jump up and hit Y twice, and then go down and, like, hold A or whatever.
Now, so I'm not going to lie. I kind of wish I had known about this.
Right.
Back when I was playing it, because there were numerous times where I wanted to throw my controller because I was just missing that combo.
Exactly. Because
they do make you go from button to button.
Oh, yeah.
Mashing and then holding and then mashing and holding. Mm-hmm. And so there's timing. The saving grace is after you do a couple fill and retries, usually you can start kind of figuring it out. And then suddenly you get the rhythm down and you can do it.
Right.
But it is a bit of trial.
Yes, it is. Because I found this out after one of the robots. It's right before you have to kick the guy with the wires or whatever for hair. Whatever the hell the guy's. Zanzo.
Sure.
Zanzo. Yeah, we'll go with that. Anyway, he's got one of those robots where you've got to do the parry. And then right at the end of the parry, you've got to hit the button just right so you can do the finishing move to kill off the robot. Every time I tried to hit that last little finishing move, somehow I would fuck it up and I'd have to do it all over again. And it would just, you know, like I said, it would make me want to throw the controller. So I did some snooping around in the settings because I was looking for something else. And I come across that and I'm like, well, that surely doesn't mean what I think it means. But we'll flip it on anyway and see what it does. And sure enough, that is exactly what it does. So it makes it a little easier for me because, like I said, I'm having an issue with trying to smash everything at once without actually smashing it all at once.
Right.
So, anyway, I'm still getting along good with it. I just found Macron with his cinnamon robot, but his name is not... Well, his name is Cinnamon, but that's not what it stands for. I won't go any further into that one. But anyway, I found it, and I'm getting along fine with it. It runs well on the Edge, which is what I've been playing it on most of the time. So I'll be sitting on the couch, and Dad will be watching his YouTube videos or whatever, and I'll be sitting there and playing Hi-Fi Rush. So I'm pretty tickled with it. Okay. So, another thing I've been playing, which is new on the list, is Figment, which is a game I believe Robin played 2 years ago, because that's how I found out about it. Was through
Love
Robin.
It. It's weird and rude and cute and very adult. I love Figment.
So I didn't buy it. I think I got it a long time ago through Epic. I think it was one of the Epic free games one time. Anyway, I got it. And of course, with my little Razor Edge thing, I've been trying to figure out how I can play my Epic games and like Amazon games, that sort of thing that I've got that I pick up for nothing, yet they sit here on my PC and I don't play them. So there's a little app on my Edge that's called Parsec. And basically what it does is it's like Steam Link, only of course it's not made by Steam. And it basically mirrors your computer. And you can play your Epic games and Amazon games and stuff like that on your handheld from your PC, if that makes sense. So I sat down last week and I played some Figment. So that was good. I don't know. Because when I tried to play it on the PC before, using just the mouse and keyboard, I was terrible at it. But with this, because it's basically a controller, it works a hell of a lot better for me. So I played some Figment, got along pretty good with it. So we'll go back to that.
I think that, but the story goes, this guy's in a coma or something, and it's what's going on in his brain at the time. And he's not, well, people are nasty. I mean, all the language in it is...
Oh yeah,
and yeah, pretty dark humor. But it's I thought it was very, very cool, and some of the puzzles were not overly taxing, but still really good. And I completed this. Yeah, really, that was a really good game. Good.
Yeah, I'm chasing a nightmare or something at the moment. Mm. So I'm following him through the map and trying to track him down. I've just met the mayor of I can't remember what the hell the little brain town is called, but I met the mayor and all that. So
I actually played
I'm
this.
Having a pretty good time with it.
I played this on a PC.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So, aside from that, I played some more Diablo Immortal, trying to get my Diablo fixed until 4 comes out.
Okay.
And I did pretty well. I'm doing pretty well on it. The only thing I don't like about it is I had to answer the phone, and even going into the menus does not pause it, and I died. So I had to resurrect somewhere so that, you know, I could come back and fight another day. But I'm okay with it. I'm not like some of the people that's throwing a bunch of money at it. As a matter of fact, I don't think I've thrown any money at it yet. I am at one part where the demon I'm supposed to beat requires a squad. Well, of course, it's only me playing, so, you know. So until I max out some more armor, I'm kind of screwed. So I'm going to go off and do some other stuff and build up my armor and whatnot.
So,
and hopefully.
So when you're having to grind in this game, because I know in theory you can either grind or you can kind of pay to win, so to speak.
And I'm a cheap ass, so I'm not doing that. So,
but how grindy does that grind become? Is it? I mean, does it feel like it's overly long or?
Yeah, it's not like Destiny. So I mean, because I hated the grind in Destiny, just hated it. But so it's not been too bad because there's always other parts of the story you can go and do. And then come back to whatever it is the boss or whatever you have to defeat. So far that's pretty good. So it's kind of like playing, kind of like Diablo 3. You know, when you got stuck on one part, you could venture off and go do something else and then come back to it. And maybe by then you've got the weapon or the stats or whatever it was you needed to beat it to begin with. So far not bad. I mean, as long as you don't mind wandering around and there's a bunch of other strange people in your game, although half the time they don't bother me and I don't bother them, so it's all good, is because they don't interfere with your game unless you're doing like this demon deal. You can get other players to jump in on your squad or team, whatever you want to call it, your group, and they can help you, but I don't know. I haven't messed with that too much.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's pretty good so far. And last but certainly not least, and you can kind of talk about this one too, we played some Battlefield.
We did. Hello. We did. We squatted up. Shockingly, by the way, Mark Wright was seen actually playing games.
Right.
Just kidding, Mark. We know you play games.
This is 2042.
It's not with us.
2042.
Yes. Battlefield 2042. We got Boomer, Kim, myself, and Mark. We all squatted up. And it was a good time.
Yes, it was fantastic.
I haven't played, so I bought Battlefield on disc, and you can thank me because I bought it for $10 on disc, and then like 2 months later, it came out to EA Play.
Well, only because I had bought it at launch, and then nobody else bought it. So. Well,
but I feel like they've done
exactly.
True. They've done some good improvements to this game. I it's still early days for me with it, so I'm still getting used to kind of the different configurations and how you can change out your soldier class. So that, I guess, that's one of the big changes.
Right.
When it first launched, you were a soldier. You didn't really have a class.
Right.
And you could specialize kind of in anything you wanted.
Right.
Now they've brought back the class system. So they have the assault, engineer, recon, and medic. But they don't limit you to what guns you can use.
Right.
So in theory, you still can be kind of whatever you want. So you could be an engineer with a sniper rifle and just go off and snipe. I have fallen in love with the LMG. I'm an engineer rocking a big machine gun, and that feels really good.
Good. Good deal. Yeah, I had a great time with it. Like I said, it brought back all the good Battlefield days we used to have back in the day when we all played Battlefield together. So, I mean, it was good enough that after you guys left, me and Boomer stayed on for like another hour and played a couple more matches after I figured out how to get the bot thing to work. But once we got that to work, you know, it was great. Because I even got Boomer to say that he, you know, he didn't like it the other day when he played. He didn't like it at all. Didn't care for him.
He's a grumpy-ass old man.
I know, right? But he did say yesterday, after he got done playing with the rest of us, that this kind of changed his opinion of it. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so I'll have to do it some more.
It makes a big difference playing with people you know right. and you like. I will say, you know, the nice addition also is the bots.
Yes. And I'm not lying when I say I would just as soon play against the bots as play against real people.
Are they because
the change. Yes, X-Bots, yes. No, the change they made is they have introduced bot play sessions. I guess that's the best way to put it. And so you're playing against bots, but you're still getting experience so you can level up your character. Whereas before, in most games, whenever you did a game against other bots, they wouldn't give you experience. So right. it was kind of like a training thing, but you didn't actually gain experience. You didn't level up. And so it kind of made it pointless. You didn't want to do it because it didn't count.
Right.
And so you would go into the online session against other competitive players. And when you're late to the party with a game like Battlefield 2042 for me, you're going to get your ass handed to you left and right.
Yep.
So I still like playing with live players, but the bots definitely help either with like warming up to just kind of get into the grind of the Battlefield grind. But also just understanding the game and learning things.
Right. Yeah, because some of the games or some of the stuff with this one is different than previous Battlefield, so even I'm still trying to figure it all out. So.
Yeah, I did try flying one time, and that was actually the very last match we did. It's interesting because the way vehicles control in Battlefield is different this go round. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to. It's almost kind of like how you control a warthog in Halo, and so the only difference they still use the triggers for forward and backwards, but you steer it in a sense. It's not like you're turning the wheels of it. It's like the direction you're looking is the direction the vehicle is going to go. At least that's the way I can describe it. And flying, it's going to take practice.
Yes.
For a second, I was like, oh, this isn't too bad. And then suddenly I'm like having all kind of pitch control issues. And I'm just watching this. It was the vertical takeoff jet that can hover like a helicopter. And then you can transition into forward. And oh, dear God, I'm not sure what's going on here. But yeah, this is true. Rob BTS. Anyway, needless to say, it's going to take some practice. It's going to take some practice. Thank you, Rob. this is what we all feel while you were talking about your racing.
Right. But yes, it was fun. I like the map with the tornado on it because I got caught up in it, and I thought for sure I was a goner, but it spit me back out, so that was fun. Although it didn't spit you and Mark back out. I think it got you guys, didn't it? So...
Yeah. But Battlefield 2042. I have not yet bought the season pass. And of course they get you, just like all of these games with season passes. They show you all the stuff that you could be getting. You just earned this. You just earned that. I approve this message. Oh, for Christ's sakes. Robin?
Sorry. I was experimenting. You weren't meant to hear that. So.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm probably going to get the season pass.
I definitely think we ought to play some more Battlefield. It's nothing against COD, but you know,
thank
Battlefield
you
is my
very much.
You know,
love it.
Thing.
You're hearing
this is,
that?
We literally are the veteran gamer show right now.
Sorry,
we've created a monster.
Yeah, sorry, you're not. I thought you couldn't hear that. Okay, it was only me, but no, I'm wrong. I'll not experiment anymore. Okay,
Robin,
Battlefield's fucking class, man. Boomer is the fucking best thing since sliced bread.
Right. So anyway, that was it for me. Like I said, most of the games I played this week were on my Razer Edge, except for Battlefield. And I mean, I could have played that on there too, but I'm not real sure how good I would do on that tiny screen trying to play a shooter. I don't know. Maybe I'll try one day.
All right. Well, we'll finish up with me. So, Atomic Heart. I still have been playing this game. It's funny because I know there is a lot of like controversy around this game. A lot of people like really nag on it. I was listening to Stu going on, "Oh, it's so horrible. The voice acting, this," and I'm just like, you know what? It's not any worse than any Japanese anime game I've ever played. So from that standpoint, I can look past it. Visually, it's a fantastic game. I like some of the platformy puzzles that they present within the game. Now, I have not made it to there. Basically, the game is very linear at the start.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly about halfway through, you get into kind of a more open world setting. And I haven't gotten there yet. So maybe my feelings will change differently once I get there. But so far, I've actually liked kind of how it's progressing me through this. Definitely has BioShock vibes to it. And that continues to be the main thing. And you know, we talk about this upgrade robot that's a sexy robot, right? It's a very weird thing within the game. And people, you know, a lot of people get offended by it. I don't know why, because, again, I just take it with a grain of salt. I don't really focus too much on it because I'm just there to upgrade real quickly and then I jump out. But, of course, the robot basically sounds like she wants to have sex with you. But she's like a refrigerator. It's not, I don't know how better to describe this. So,
wasn't there an ACD song about that? No.
Maybe.
Yeah. Something about Alice.
I think Atomic Heart is a game. If you can try it, you should. It's on Game Pass, obviously. So if you have Game Pass, give it a shot. I think it's either going to be a love hate thing. I personally, right now, still, I'm very much enjoying my time with it. It is challenging. It's not easy, so you might want to dumb down the difficulty on it. The combat can feel clunky at times, but I think that's also because there's a timing aspect to the combat. There's a parry system in the game that I actually recommend you just ignore. Don't try to parry. Try to move your character around, and that's it, and just be strategic with your fighting. That's the best way to go through it. But you know, from an indie developer, this is an amazing game. It really is. And again, just from a visual standpoint, there's a lot of really great eye candy, and I just appreciate that. So I've been enjoying it.
Yes, comrade. Comrade, it looks fantastic, comrade.
You know, and that's the other thing. I don't quite understand. A lot of people were saying, or I guess the Ukrainian government was trying to say that it was glorifying Russia. I don't really get that sense. You know, nothing about this game really kind of glorifies anything from an actual modern day standpoint. It's all fictional. It's this kind of alternate universe where, you know, Russia became kind of basically the winner of World War II and the Cold Wars, and they.
Yeah, what was that utopian Apple TV show that, what was it, Russia landed on the moon first and it changed history?
This is kind of like that.
Sort of idea. Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, so, you know, I mean, and hell, you know, we're going to be going to the moon again, apparently, and then we're going to find out we probably never went to the moon.
Can you?
Right.
There's my conspiracy.
I mean, can you imagine? I mean, it's a sort of American sort of, war had changed and how you would have had red phone boxes and double-decker buses everywhere and tea, cucumber sandwiches.
I mean, those are kind of the fun things. That's the fun of the Wolfenstein series, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so Atomic Heart.
Okay.
Cool. Again, enjoying that. Halo 3 Season 3, we kicked it off. Bought the season pass for this, have been enjoying season 3. They've added a lot of good stuff into the season 3 gameplay. Most notably, of course, maps. Everybody loves new maps. And between the community content that they have elevated into the play, you know, the play series sessions for experience, on top of 3 new maps that they created for season 3, those are all great. Finally, I feel like the cosmetics also are really starting to shape up and be something that you actually like to earn and achieve. Prior to this, they were kind of hit and miss. But I feel like this is probably one of the better season passes they've actually put out there. And again, with Halo, what I kind of love is you, once you get a season pass, it doesn't expire. You can come back to it or stick with it. So even if we go to season 4, if I haven't finished my season 3 battle pass, I can stick with it and still earn and get the things from season 3. They also have this new, it's a new, not ability, a new equipment piece. It's this, God, now I can't think of the stupid name of the shield, but it's like a dome. It reminds me of the Halo 3 shield dome that you would put out there, and you basically, nobody could shoot into through the shield. But instead of it being something you can't shoot into, it's actually just darkness. So you can't see into it, you can't see out of it. Mm. And what I love about this shield dome is there's a new game mode called, it's escalation, gun escalation, I think is what it's called. But it's more or less like the Call of Duty version of the gun game. But instead, Robin, why are you making the face?
Because I put a video on that was about Galo. It was a bit too much.
Oh boy, just a little.
If I was in the chat now, I'd be getting banned.
the new gun game version in Halo. What I like about it is in Modern Warfare, in the version of gun game, you start off with the weakest guns, and then you eventually get to the best guns. In Halo, they reverse it. You start off with rocket launchers.
Oh, wow.
And you progress through all the weapons, and then the very last weapon you end up with is a skull. And so you have to bash people with the skull. So, and of course, the more kills you get with a weapon on your team, then you progress to the next weapon. And so it's really unique. I like the spin on it. And finishing it out with everybody just having these skulls trying to hammer one another is pretty damn comical, because you also get those domes so you can conceal yourself inside the dome, and you're just sitting waiting for somebody to walk in. And the minute they walk in, you're just thrashing. So Halo 3, really been enjoying my time with that. And then, of course, we talked about Battlefield 2042. Jason Johnson, I apologize. I still have not played Phantom Brigade. I bought it. I've got it. I will make an effort to play it this week so I can talk about that next week. All right. Lewis in the chat. Lewis Raimondo. So, funny story about Lewis. We play Halo together on very regular sessions. I noticed his profile. It said Jose.
Jose.
And I was like, well, wait a minute. Well, I've been getting his name wrong this entire time. So it turns out it is his first name, but he goes by Lewis because basically he was trying to get into some sweepstakes on Xbox, and they asked for his legal name. So he had to put in Jose on his legal name. Anyway, so yeah. Jose, Lewis, whichever one you want to go with, absolutely enjoyed my time playing with you this past week. That does it for me. So let's talk about an email first, Robin.
Oh, okay.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good friend of the show, John Mouse.
Oh, shit.
Emailed the show after last week's phone call.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Kim, maybe we should have you read this email.
All righty. Here we go. Hello, OC. Sorry I missed your call on the last show. It's taking this long for me to reply because I'm sleep deprived and slightly. Okay, yeah, all right. Because I'm a sleep deprived and slightly drunken state when receiving the message, I thought I dreamt Bongo and Greg calling me. Imagine my utter confusion, though, because I have never spoken to Greg about The Mandalorian. I watched the first season and it was just okay, but I'm not really that into Star Wars. You're getting me mixed up with my podcast host, buddy Jay. Yeah, we figured that one out. Just to prove that Jay and I are not the same person, I have attached a photo of us in the same pub at the same time. Jay is on the left, and not Jay is on the right. I cannot, however, provide a photo of Batman and I in the same room, just saying. Make of that what you will. Love you all, John.
So, funny story to this email. just after we finished up the show last week, I don't know, probably a half hour or so later, I realized my cell phone that I had totally screwed up. That it was not John that had been sending the message about Star Wars Mandalorian. It was Jay. Now, I'm happy to say apparently shares some of my similar feelings around the Mandalorian, that it's not necessarily the bee's bollocks.
I think you should apologize. And so,
what was that?
I think you should apologize to him.
I don't want to apologize to John. I just want to, you know, I feel a kinship to John.
No. I feel an apology coming on.
Okay.
Oh dear.
Would you like me to apologize now?
Yeah,
I will.
Yeah, I think so. I think.
Look at those two handsome fellas.
Really, dear John, yeah. I am sorry I called you out on the podcast.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, literally a real apology. I like it. Okay.
Yeah. Probably won't answer now.
I know he's not going to answer.
This is the Vodafone voicemail service for 077171051. The message after the tone. When you finish recording, please hang up or press the hash key for more options.
Sorry, John, we just broadcast your phone number on the podcast.
So a message now would be your apology. A time for an apology, John. This is an apology phone call.
This is an apology phone call, John. Deeply sorry that I confused you for Jay and Jay's misguided formulaic thoughts around The Mandalorian and how great it is, because it's not been that great. It's just been okay. Visually fantastic. But again, this is not for Jay. This is for you, John. John, I'm deeply sorry that we did this to you and that I made that mistake.
Thank you very much. Love it.
Random calls with Robin.
Random calls. We'll get you on
there. There we go. All right. Now, let's dive into the news, Robin. There's a lot to get through.
Okay.
Here is the fucking news.
I see Phil has got a rather rude cat on his forehead now.
I noticed that.
Yeah, he's giving the middle finger. I don't know, Phil, what is going on with your head right now? I have really no idea what's going on there. Starfield, the wonderful class game that we're all going to love or hate, it gets a release date. So as per Twitter, announcement from Bethesda, Starfield launch will on the 6th of September. But fans will get an in-depth look at the game before Bethesda's Starfield Direct on the 11th of June. Or June the 11th, if you're American. So there you go. Starfield's coming.
So real quick. Yeah. So a lot of people are like, oh, they've delayed it again. You know, they promised they would have it out in the next 12 months through the last E3. Right. I think this 100% has to do with some strategy around the Activision Blizzard deal.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I think Microsoft does not want anything huge like Starfield launching before they can kind of finalize everything. Because if Starfield were to blow up and they really made a big dent, I feel Microsoft is worried that that would potentially play into this whole monopoly thing that Sony's been trying to put out there. And of course, we're going to talk about that in a minute. But so I just think this is a strategic move to move Starfield out of the window of major scrutiny by these different organizations for governments for federal trade stuff.
Oh, okay.
We'll see.
Yeah, it'll be interesting enough.
I'm excited, though. I'm excited for it to come.
Okay. Sony is worried. Fuck's sake. I read this the other week. Sony is worried that Microsoft will sabotage Call of Duty for the PlayStation. Sony has laid out its concerns about Microsoft's proposed acquisition of Activision Blizzard. Here we go again. Including a host of fears about the future of Activision's Call of Duty franchise. In new documents submitted to the UK's Competition and Markets Authority, Sony says it's worried that Microsoft could raise the price of Call of Duty, making it only available on its Xbox Game Pass subscription service, and even strategically or incidentally degrade the quality of performance of Call of Duty on PlayStation. Can you imagine if there's even one frame dropped, what will happen? Sony, this is the good bit now. Sony cites specific hypothetical situation where Microsoft could release a Call of Duty on game on PlayStation that has bugs or cats appearing and errors on the final level. When you get to the
cats.
When you get to the final level, there's a big picture of Phil with his middle finger up just before you can finish the game. Yeah, Sony leaves it ambiguous whether this would be intentional damage or plays best on Xbox scenario. They really are clutching at straws. Do you know what? Do I have to read this nonsense? It's all also...
you do. But hang on. So we'll take this in bits and pieces. So this bit right here, it makes you kind of think, though. One, where would they get this idea from? Is this something that they do?
Right.
Yeah. That's a good point.
You know, it's so just kind of just like irrationally out of left field, you know. So anyway, continue on.
Yeah. They leave it ambiguous whether this would be intentional damage or players best on Xbox scenario where Microsoft's close ties to Call of Duty, I thought Sony's ties were closer, would make it work better on that platform. But more broadly, Sony fears that Microsoft might strategically try to sabotage Call of Duty on PlayStation in multiple ways by degrading the quality and performance of Call of Duty on PlayStation compared to Xbox, degrading Call of Duty to ignore PlayStation-specific features, e.g. better controller haptics, or restricting, degrading, or not investing in multiplayer experience on PlayStation. Sony is also worried that it might not get its supper before bed about Microsoft keeping Call of Duty on Xbox Game Pass and not letting Sony offer the title on its own PlayStation Plus service. Conversely, not to shoes, in its own filing to the CMA, Microsoft said that any COD game in Microsoft multi-game subscription is eligible for inclusion in Sony's multi-game subscription service at the same time and for the same duration. But Sony clearly isn't happy with the licensing terms or pricing. The document is heavily redacted. That's little black boxes everywhere if you watch the movies. But Sony says that the terms redacted would destroy redacted entertainment, redacted subscription business model.
Well, you know, so they say this would commercially destroy Sony Interactive multi-game subscription business model.
Oh,
the
boy.
Interesting thing on this little bit, if we think back to, I think Jim Ryan has said many things.
Right.
One of which, well, at one point he said Game Pass was, they were not worried about Game Pass. He said this to investors. Uh-huh. It was not a competitor.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So there was that. He then has said that Call of Duty is so important to Sony because it's what funds all of their first party titles, which is interesting and enlightening.
Yeah.
But also kind of goes counterculture to what we hear so many, you know, I'll say the fans say, how Sony, you know, organically grows all of these games. Well, it turns out it's all Call of Duty, and Call of Duty is responsible for everything, basically, according to Jim Ryan. Continue on, Robin.
Okay. Not that I'm doing anything naughty at the moment in the background. The CMA documents were filed last month and made public today, just weeks after the British regulator warned of potential harm to gamers and no tea, and offered up possible remedies that include Microsoft being forced to sell off Activision's Blizzard business associated with Call of Duty. The CMA is currently analysing 3 million Microsoft and Activision documents and more than 2,100 emails from the public. Only 2,100. According to Sony's remedies notice, the UK regulator is considering responses to its potential remedies before the final ruling about the acquisition is due by April 26th. How many copies does Call of Duty sell? 50 million? 100 million?
No, usually it's around 20, 25 million, I think, over the course of a year.
What's the percentage number of complainants in 2000 against 20 million? What is the percent? Is it 1%? Less? Far less.
Oh, you're talking about the people that did that.
That wrote an email in complaining.
I think it was like 10 people.
2,100 emails.
No. Sorry. You're talking about the when they surveyed, I think it was like 3,000 gamers or something like that. I don't remember the exact number of the gamers that responded to the CMA.
2,100. So 2,100 emails from the public against 20 million seals. I mean, the percentage of complainants, that's like changing everything because one person in 1,000 complained that they didn't like the colour of the paint in their shop. Anyway, elsewhere, EU regulators are reportedly likely to approve Microsoft's $68.7 billion deal. The licensing deals Microsoft struck with Nintendo and Nvidia recently are said to have eased concerns with the European Commission, reportedly likely to demand that Microsoft sell any Activision Blizzard assets as a condition of regulatory approval. Do you think there's people sitting around the room going, ew, I approve of this bit. This is rather good.
I have a feeling that's exactly what happens.
I'd like to think that's what happens.
I know. This next little bit, though, this is what takes the cake, if you ask me.
In related news, Lulu Chen Mercery, EVP, Executive Vice President of Corporate Affairs and CCO of Activision Blizzard, took to Twitter again with cat photographs. Lulu says, Microsoft offered Sony the dominant console leader for well over a decade with 80% Microsoft share, in brackets, a 10-year agreement on far better terms than Sony would ever get from us. We've also offered Sony guaranteed long-term access to Call of Duty and a free mug, but they keep refusing. Why?
They want the mug and the matching t-shirt.
Yeah, let me.
Well, go further down that tweet, Robin. The very last, this is the interesting bit.
The CEO of SIE answered that question in Brussels Sprouts. In his words, I don't want a new Call of Duty deal. I just want to block your merger.
So it's very interesting that Jim Ryan would come forward and say that. And obviously, you know, we're taking her at her word that he actually said these things publicly in the meetings in Brussels. That was with the EU. So I have to ask this question.
Yes.
Okay.
Is Jim Ryan potentially the Don Matrick of the PlayStation? Now hear me out, because Matrick has a pretty shitty reputation now. But if you think about it, he took over the Xbox, it was doing well. He was very businesslike in what he did with the Xbox 360, moving into the Xbox One. And then he started publicly speaking when they had some troubles and just made it worse and worse and worse.
Right.
Jim Ryan is a business guy. He took over PlayStation that is, you know, in a very successful upswing, and he has elevated it. He's done a very good job with PlayStation so far. But suddenly he's starting to say some things publicly that are coming back and kind of biting him in the ass.
Yeah. Saying the quiet bit out loud. Yeah.
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 So we'll see. But I just wonder if he's going to go down in history as kind of the PlayStation's Don Matrick.
Right. Well, I wouldn't have thought so at first, but the more this keeps going on, I'm kind of wondering the same thing. He just, you know, he doesn't know when to shut up. You know?
Yeah. Maybe we should get him on the phone.
God, that would be great.
Wouldn't that be funny? The Godfather Gregorius. Well, he's now in there. Well, right in now. A little pain from having my cherry pop. Good lad yourself. It doesn't hurt much. We're kind and gentle. In fact,
yes,
most of us need blue pills. Google
Continue on, Robin.
Google Stadia shutdown has also killed its white label game streaming offer. The Beatles album will never be the same again. When Google shut down Stadia in January, it also wound down third-party access to the underlying cloud gaming technology. Google's Jack Boosers tells Axios Stephen Totillo, his company is no longer offering immersive stream for games as it was tied to Stadia itself. I have one over here. A provider can't simply pick up the pieces, to put it another way. Only a handful of brands ever used immersive stream. What the hell is immersive stream?
I think the immersive stream, this was the stuff where, you know, as you were watching the stream, you could instantly kind of click onto it to get into the game, to launch the game, that kind of thing. So
Oh, I thought it was something like when you pee, then you put your thing in the water as well. So that's not what it is. Okay, only a handful of people. ANTT let mobiles play Batman Arkham Knight and Control, while Capcom offered Resident Evil. Okay, and even Peloton used it. Wow. Okay. We asked Google for a comment, and they went, "Nah."
Yeah. I think Google right now is very gun shy with all of their cloud gaming stuff.
It's gone.
Yeah. I think it still will come back in some fashion at some point, but for now, it is toast for sure.
Now I think the technology.
What else, Robin? What else has been
technology
going on?
Will be used elsewhere. Square Enix says Forspoken's launch sales were lackluster.
Putting it politely, I think.
It's a good word, is lackluster. The debut game from Square Enix Luminous Production Studio was released on January the 24th to middling reviews, with its Metacritic score currently sitting at 64 on PS5 and 63 on PC. Speaking during financial results briefing on February the 3rd, an English transcript has only been published. Square Enix's president, Yusuke Masuda, said this game had been lackluster following Taojing, one of us.
So. Oh, you are going to hell. I think this does actually put very much in jeopardy a future Xbox version of this game. I think Square is going to kill this thing off. Maybe for the best.
Yeah.
Well, aren't they already absorbing the company or whatever, Luminous? They're already absorbing it.
Yeah, the developer. Yeah, they've already been basically pulled in and kind of pulled off of it, so to speak. So.
Right.
Oh, wow. They've been pulled off of it. Right. Okay. Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League could be delayed until 2024, it's claimed. I'm glad they'll be alive for another year. That's really good. On Thursday, Bloomberg source claimed Warner has decided to push the title from its previously announced May release date to the second half of 2023. Following the report, which Warner has yet to officially comment on, Giant Bomb reporter Jeff Grubb, not Jeff Gershwin, said a reliable source has told him that Rocksteady's game may not arrive until next year. When was the last time Rocksteady put something out? Was it
This was supposed to be it. Yeah? I mean, before this, it wasn't the Batman game.
Were they involved in Spider-Man?
I think so.
Were they involved in Spider-Man? No? No?
No. That's Sony. Oh, God, I can't think of the
name. Well, the video stuff for Suicide Squad looked class, but we didn't see any gameplay proper. So,
well, I think the big complaint on Suicide Squad, it was kind of they gave everybody guns. So that these characters normally didn't have guns as part of their normal stuff. Like Boomerang, a man, he shouldn't have a gun. But so, it felt like they made every character samey. Mm-hmm. And so there wasn't really anything unique about each character. So hopefully they'll go back to the drawing board a little bit with this, and maybe some of the weapons will be tweaked and be more authentic to the superhero characters they're supposed to, or the villain characters they're supposed to be portraying.
Do you know what, Greg? There was a show. There was a show.
There were two shows this week, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't spoil it.
We'll talk about the first one. Then we'll talk about the next one.
Spoilers. Paradox Interactive announcement show was sponsored by Xbox. Those nasty people that's keeping Call of Duty from PlayStation.
Well, this was just interesting because I don't think I've ever seen Xbox do this before, where they actually they sponsored another publisher's showcase.
Right.
I think that was just the notable thing about it. It caught me by surprise.
Just as a note, Phil has got rid of his cat now.
Yeah, what is that on Phil's head?
Yeah.
I think it's one of Pete's toys.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Phil's a good
Just one. On a side note, you know, you had your case for your Switch with sunflowers on it. And Pete said that he could put in two of these and a master key and some other things. I mean, what does that say about him? I mean,
it says a lot.
It's not a big case.
He's a kinky fella. Yeah.
I think that's really what it boils down to. Pete is a little on the kinky side.
I don't know.
A little.
Should we be worried? I've been watching this guy about Vegas, about all the things, you know, not to get mugged and how to get shot and the best way not to get not to get ripped off by strippers and all that sort of stuff. Like, and you know, and all the strippers will, you know, oh, you're the best thing ever, and I could spend my time with you. Not to listen to any of that. So maybe
I'm glad this has been consuming your time, Robin.
It has, yeah, very right? much so. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see how Pete performs.
I don't want to see Pete perform. Wait, I don't.
Goodness me! Can you imagine?
Holy
sorry,
shit.
Just a
second.
Robin.
Yeah, just a second. Robin, I have to go to the bathroom here. I'll be very worried about that. City Skylines 2 is coming to PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC later this year, plus Game Pass.
Yay!
This is at the show. Crusader Kings 3, a new PC expansion called Tours and Tournaments, is coming. The Lamplighters League Paradox revealed a new turn-based strategy game from Harebrained Schemes. It's coming in 2023 to everything, apart from PlayStation.
It is an Xbox exclusive.
Is that a conspiracy?
And it's coming to Game Pass.
Yes.
It's also launching day one on Game Pass, Kim. Game Pass.
Nice.
Paradox revealed a new expansion for a strategy game, Europa Universalis 4, titled Domination. Mm-hmm. That's the same Paradox, people. And they also revealed a new expansion for Ice Flake Studio, Surviving the Aftermath, titled Rebirth. We got a look at Knights of Pen and Paper 3. The next entry in Paradox's pop culture-infused turn-based RPG series. Wow. Stellaris expansions announced. Oh, somebody really
Jason
likes
it. Jason's going to be happy about this.
Yeah. Stellaris Overlord coming to consoles on March the 8th. Stellaris First Contact coming to PC on March 14th. Age of Wonders 4 is also slated for launch across Xbox Series XS, PC, and PS5 on May the 2nd.
I'm quietly excited for that.
Yeah.
I've seen some videos from it. That might be my jam.
Is it like the Wonder Year? Is it like the Wonder Years sort of thing?
No, it's like Civilization, but turn-based kind of strategy.
A philism.
Yeah. Yep, philism.
Yeah. No, there was a second show. Believe it or not, and yet nobody heard about this, but the second show also happened. And Capcom had a showcase recap. And here's a little breakdown of all the news from that show. It was a real spotlight of a showcase. It really was. Mega Man Battle Network Legacy Collection releases on April the 14th for Switch, PC, and 4.
No. Switch and PS4.
PS4.
And Steam.
Well, see, it's PS4 is better than PS5. Pre-orders available now. And there's a custom pet pack. Bonus is two special kinds of skins and 4 rearranged music tracks. It comes, one of the music tracks is backwards. It comes in volume 1 and volume 2. Mega Man, once again, NT Warrior, runs on PC. NT, you have to load NT your PC to get it to work. The English version of this anime will be available to watch for free on March 21st. The first 2 seasons will be available for a limited time. Street Fighter 6, way to go, Capcom. May you mix it up there. It launches on June the 2nd. Japanese actress Hikaru Takahashi has been announced as the final color commentator. What? A color?
For the color what's commentating it? During the fights. Come on, Robin.
Color? On. I have never heard of that term. A color commentator?
You've never heard of color commentator?
No.
So think about sports. In sports, you have your main guy that does the play-by-play. He's like, oh, Robin Tate into the box. He's taking the shot. He passes it off to Kim Woods, and she takes the shot. That's the announcer guy. And then the color commentator is, Kim looks like she's a bit slow there. She's, I think she's suffering from a little bit fatigue. There you go.
Okay.
Yes, you're welcome for that brilliant impression.
Okay. I mean, we have that those guys. I mean, definitely. We have a guy called Gary Lineker in the UK. He would be very like that. Topical. And okay. That was Street Fighter. Okay. Capcom Pro Tour 2023. This season will feature the forenamed Street Fighter 6 and will feature a special prize in celebration of the game's release. The first place prize will be $1 million in a prize pool of over $2 million and a mug.
Woohoo!
Capcom's 40th anniversary, a digital theme park called Capcom Town will release on June the 12th and feature a digital museum and other buildings. God, yay. See if you're a Capcom fan right now, you are spinning. You're so happy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, this is new. Exoprimal, yes. The dinosaur hunting co-op game. Not that they got into enough trouble with all like the big asteroid and stuff. Will release on July the 14th on pretty much everything. And it will release day one on Xbox Game Pass. And have an open beta from St. Patrick's Day, to be sure, to the 19th. A deluxe edition and season pass were also relieved. Relieved? They're relieved to be revealed.
Bottle down, Robin.
Ghost Trick, a high-definition remaster of the classic game
that I've never heard of,
that Kim has never heard of, will release on June the 30th for PS4, Xbox One, Steam, and Nintendo Switch. It will come with a new challenges feature, which is very challenging, and newly arranged versions of the 37 music tracks, one of which is backwards. Pre-orders are available now. Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak. This expansion will release on April the 28th for lots of things. And in another digital event focusing on post-launch content for free, Title Update 5. These are really, I mean, there's different levels of nerd, but this is like nerd level like 11.
It's scheduled. Gave you everything. Everything, Robin. All you could ask for, I gave it to you.
For here. Sometime in April. Resident Evil Death Island. This is about an island that has lots of death. This movie, a movie, will release in summer 23. Very like Do Not Go Back Into the Pool. The showcase revealed... Have you ever seen that YouTube video? You must have got up. Don't go in the pool. There's a shark in it. Don't go back in. The showcase revealed a cameo of Jill Valentine, who will join Leon Kennedy, Chris Redfield, and other Resident Evil favourites as characters in the film.
See, everybody's getting into the film business. Yep. Last of Us, Resident Evil Death Island, the way they should be.
Resident Evil 5. Sorry, I've got ahead of myself. Resident Evil 4 Remake. The Chainsaw demo of the remake will be available today. With no time limit for lots of things. The game fully releases on March the 24th. Wow.
A lot of people are excited for that, Resident Evil 4 remake.
Oh, yeah.
They've done good jobs with their well, between them and EA, recent remakes have been pretty damn good. So.
Finally, all of these things, except for the RE4 remake and Monster Hunter Rise, are on sale now. So if you enjoy Capcom, get stuck in. There's bargains to be had and a free plant.
Woohoo!
And a free plant.
Excellent. Wow. That Capcom article was brilliant, Greg.
You are welcome. All right.
That is all the news this week. Enjoy it.
What was that?
That's all the news. All the news is done.
All the news. Every little bit of it.
Every bit.
Thank you, Robin, for that lovely reading of the news. We do appreciate your efforts. It's work, I know. Kim, speaking of work, let's talk about some new releases real quick.
Alrighty. Your new releases for March 12th through the 18th are The Legend of Heroes, Trails to Azure. Azure. All right. PS4, Switch, and PC, March 14th. The Rec. For the PS5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC on the 14th as well.
Also, the subtitle for this looking podcast.
What I'm looking forward to a little bit is Wolsen, Lords of Mayhem. It's a little like Diablo, so maybe that's why I'm interested.
Okay.
For PS5, Xbox Series X and S, March 15th. Anno 1800 for the PS5, Xbox Series X and S, March 16th. The Dark Pictures, Switchback, VR, PlayStation VR 2, March 16th. That one, I'm not interested in at all. Bayonetta, Oranges?
No. You're speaking like me right now.
Bayonetta, Oranges.
Yes, Bayonetta, Origins, Cereza and the Lost Demon.
She had great Cereza, oranges.
But not Origins.
She had fabulous.
For the Switch.
Fabulous oranges.
Right. It's for the Switch, March 17th. And WWE 2K23 for the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC on the 17th as well. There you go. Go play with your oranges.
Do you know what? If you had a lisp, WWE 2K23 would be very hard to say. It really would. It would really, really be hard to say.
Well, I don't have a lisp, but it was still hard for me to say. So, you know, there you go.
Robin, do we have something happening right now?
I think so.
Random calls with Robin.
Yep.
He'll not answer because it's been years since we've called Spooky Tilly.
Probably
like, who the fuck is this?
Welcome to the O2 messaging service. The person you are calling is unable to take your call. Please leave your message after the tone. To re-record your message, key hash at any time.
Key hash?
Step J, it's ridiculous that you don't answer your phone. I mean, do you think this is some sort of random call from a random Robin on the Overseas Connection podcast? It probably is. Absolutely random call. But you weren't there. And I was phoning to tell you that the next person to answer a call had won $1 million. Sadly, you didn't answer the phone and you've lost out. Goodbye.
Thank you very much. Love it.
I'm going to get in trouble.
Just waiting.
Oh, Lord. All right. Well, aside from us spamming people with random phone calls, Robin, what's been going on this past week in your life? Let's talk about some story time.
Hooray, story time. Hooray, story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
I'd really like to say I've had a really class week, and I have had a pretty good week. It's been a bloody busy week. So just to paint the reality of my life right now, when someone complained earlier on today that they've had a hard day with the kids and they might have an early night and they can't come on the podcast, I was thinking, yeah, I would swap you straight away with your hard day with the kids. So I'm unbelievably busy with work right now. Really crazy busy. I am a key account manager for a busy, busy company and I travel everywhere. Very, very busy time of year for me. And also just to top on that, we have 5 foster children right now and my 2 boys as well. The whole package were here at the weekend. And we have some challenging, challenging children right now. Let's just say over the last few days, knives and matches and lots of other weird and wonderful things were involved. And so anybody that's saying that they're busy and tired with a few kids have no idea. I am amazed.
Important, by the way, yes. Robin, to note, I've had a challenging day with my grandkids. He gets to give them back.
Yeah. Oh, it's so funny. It's really all funny. Right. Anyway, yeah, Robin, so it's been busy, busy, busy. It's I'm amazed at myself. I fit so much in.
I don't want to hear any of this, but I will say, Robin, kudos to you and Judith. You guys truly are saints.
I'm being very serious.
You guys take on a very difficult, challenging thing with foster kids. So you deserve all the praise in the world. And hopefully a better week is ahead.
No, there's not. It's actually not a better week ahead. No,
it's going to be fucked. I know. But.
It's not. Our little one, Jasmine, is going in for several operations on Wednesday. So very early on Wednesday morning. And that's probably going to be an overnight stay. It's going to be a tough week. Hey, I'm not saying this to complain because I don't waste a minute. Let me be the role model. I pack in as much as I possibly can.
You're allowed to complain. It's okay.
I'm all right. My life is good. I have a good life.
Your life is great. I mean, I'd take your life in a heartbeat.
No, you wouldn't.
That'd be my wife.
Yeah, we'll swap places for I'll do 2 weeks with Cindy and hold on. No, I'll do a week with Cindy. No, hold on. I'll do 2 days with Cindy. Maybe that's too much. I'm not sure.
You'd last the day.
She'd chew me up and spit me out again. She really would.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, busy. I've got with Jasmine's little operation happening this week. The girls that are with us now are here until Tuesday week, and then we have our wonderful classic little Irish Muslims coming in. They're brilliant. You, of course, being Irish Muslims, you would expect them to be called Sean and Seamus or something like that there. But no, our Irish Muslims are Finn and Rory. They're not Muhammad, and it doesn't work. Irish Muslims have Northern Ireland names. It's kind of cool. So the next couple of weeks, kind of busy. And then where are we now? Greg, I mean, Las Vegas update, please. Where are we with the Las Vegas plans?
Kind of status quo from where we were last week. Okay. I didn't really have a lot of time to do more. We've nailed down two nights of dinners. We have activities listed. I finally saw your email saying, give me access, cunt. So I have approved that.
Oh, is that what I didn't know what that was, but that was a long time ago. Okay.
That was sort of like from a month ago. So you have access to the spreadsheet now. So my plan is in the next week to 2 weeks to start kind of getting some of these activities dialed in. They do require monetary deposits, so okay. We have to be sure that we want to do them. So that will be the next phase of all of this.
I mean, I have been watching this guy that goes around Las Vegas going, well, I mean, what are the dodgy things you shouldn't be involved with in Las Vegas?
I'll keep us out of the dodgy things.
I don't know. It sounds like there's lots of dodginess going on there. I mean, it really does.
Well, it's Vegas, so there's definitely dodginess.
That is Vegas. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Rule of thumb one. Yeah. Never invite a hooker back to your hotel room.
Yeah, well, that was one of the things.
Up with one less
I've been watching Five Reasons You Got Robbed in Las Vegas. This is
never count your money in front of people. Never count your money while you're walking on the street. You always do that out of sight.
Yeah, he has interesting. Thing. He has interesting stuff.
I do that anywhere, anyway. I don't, you know.
Never walk the back streets off of the strip. Yeah. That's the other thing. So, yeah. You know, if your hotel's on the strip, great. You just walk the main strip of Vegas. It applies to Hollywood too. But you never want to take the shortcuts to like go back behind the main strip where there's not a lot of people. Avoid those scenarios. Uber will be our friend. We'll take taxis.
I watched another video here of five ways Las Vegas prostitutes scam you. So that was scary.
Why are we picking up
prostitutes? Are you planning on getting a prostitute, Robin? Was this part of the plan?
I watched them. I could not watch it when it popped up on my feed. How not to get killed in Las Vegas was another good video. It was
like stuff my dad would be watching.
Yeah, it was interesting stuff there. How not to get killed in Las Vegas. That was kind of fun, you know, very, very informative. And he has lots of really, really good titles here. I mean,
You'll be okay.
Las Vegas Scams, okay. Six Dumbest Mistakes, Las Vegas Rookies Mix. I'm going to be such an expert. I mean, I've been there twice, but I've been, you know, this Nevada brothel has never. Do you know what? Actually, you're not allowed to have prostitutes in Las Vegas.
Right, to be outside.
They have to be escorts. Yeah, there's lots of yes. Again, not that I'm suggesting that this would happen, but it's just interesting to learn all this stuff before it goes. You know, it's interesting. And again, I mean, if you're there in Las Vegas right now, bring winter clothing because Las Vegas can be cold at this time of year. Even though
no, you will not bring winter clothing.
No, not in May, but now, right now. So
right now doesn't count.
I also watched this other video this week about Las Vegas, Greg. Sorry, that it's amazing that there's two main companies own majority of the casinos, which is the they keep on changing their names every couple of years. But there is the MGM Group,
right,
and then there is the Caesars Group. They keep on changing their names.
They collectively own pretty much all
and you
of
can
Las Vegas.
Walk between them, and then there's separate owners and stuff like that. Now the hotel that we are staying in, of course, was sold off a few years ago to some single bloke, and that's why it's gone downhill. But it's just very interesting. And then when this guy done this whole 30-minute video, and then it goes to one property company that owns all of the land that those both parties have. It's one big mafia scam. It's class. I just love it. I love Las Vegas. It's class.
Viva! If you see Joe Las Pesci, Vegas. Robin, just walk away.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Have I bumped into Joe Pesci?
No, see,
he fucks you in the drive-in. He fucks you in the drive-in.
Yeah. Anyway. Right, Kim, what's been going on with you?
All right.
A little bit of things. Not nearly as much thanks as poor Robin, but we did have a little drama yesterday. A little bit of backstory. My friend Brian, who's also my boss and everything else, wanted me to get him a cell phone because we have a cell phone plan together. His cell phone was paid off. It was due to be upgraded. Of course, you know, upgrade new phones, whatever. So I'm like, okay, sure. He's like, well, don't, you know, the 5G doesn't work out very well. So, you know, yada. With all this in mind, I thought, all right, I'll get you the 4G model because you said the 5G doesn't work very well. Well, the 4G, of course, is a little bit smaller than the others, which I didn't think was any big deal because we all started out on the small-ass cell phones. So anyway, I get him his phone. He comes here the day before yesterday, and we get it activated, and that was a little bit of a challenge. I've never had that much problem getting a phone activated. But anyway, long story short, he has it overnight, doesn't even give it a day, calls me up and says, I don't like this phone. It's too fucking small. Can we send it back?
Huh.
I'm like, yeah, I think so. And he's like, and I mean, you gotta understand, my friend Brian, when he gets agitated, he's like full drama queen mode. I mean, it's bad enough he gets all high-pitched and squealy, and I have to get him to slow down so I understand what the hell he's saying. And finally, he's like, you know what, screw it. I'm gonna go to Atumwa, which is the next biggest town over with a Verizon store. And he's like, I'm just gonna take it there and exchange it. I'm like, okay, well, I don't see it being a problem, so go for it. Well, he gets there, come to find out, according to this store, you have to take it to a corporate Verizon store, which, ooh, of course, is three hours away.
Yeah, Verizon's a little weird in that they have corporate and then they have these spin-off stores that they call Verizon stores, but they're not really corporate.
Right.
Yeah.
And, of course, like I said, our Verizon corporate store is 3 hours away. Well, that's not feasible. So she's like, well, have her, because I ordered it online through Verizon is how I do it.
Right.
It cuts out the middleman because I hate going into their store and then they try to peddle you $3 million worth of other extra shit you don't really need. All I want is a new phone. That's it. So anyway, he comes home, and of course, by this time, he's all sorts of pissed off. And I've got a raging headache starting in the back of my brain from all this stress that he's putting me through. So I finally get on Verizon's Twitter support, and I'm like, okay, here's the deal. Can we do this? Can we fix it? Can I send the new phone back and get his old phone reactivated until he can go into a store and change it himself? Oh, yeah, sure, no problem. So three reps later, in about, I don't know, hour and a half, I finally have a return label. He has his old phone reactivated. I have a screaming-ass migraine developing. And, well, I would say everybody's happy, but, well, like I said, screaming-ass migraine. So I wasn't exactly thrilled about it. So, yeah, that was our cell phone drama. And I made the comment to my dad yesterday, if he ever asked me to do this again, remind me of this day and just have me tell him, yes, take your ass to a store and let them put their little spiel out and do their thing and pick out your own phone so you're not yelling at me later like I did something terrible. Which, admittedly, he wasn't mad at me, but he was still aggravated because, you know, apparently he's like 80 years old, the phone screen was too small and he can't see anything. Whatever. So which was why Battlefield yesterday was nice. It was relaxing, even though I was getting killed by bots. So, indeed. So other than that, like I said, I've been toying some more with the Razor Edge, and I figured out how to get my Epic Games and other like stuff like that so I can play them. But that has led to another quandary. I bought my laptop for podcasting. Well, now it's got Epic and Steam and all that downloaded on it, which is now slowing it down. So I need to either figure out a way, and I can already hear people scum, well, this is why you buy a Steam Deck. Yes, I get that, but I didn't, and here we are. I'm happy with my Edge. So my thing is, do I buy like a small factor or small form gaming PC so I could put my Steam and stuff on it and not on my podcast laptop? Because like I said, it's slowing it down pretty good.
Well, here's a question for you before we go down that road.
Okay.
Is it slowing it down because everything's like open on it and so it's eating up like internal memory on the laptop?
Uh-huh. Well, I wonder that, but see, I went into the startup menu and I took and shut all of those off so they don't automatically start up when I turn the laptop on. That helped it somewhat, but it's still slow on starting up. And before, you know, 2 seconds it was started, I was, you know, pretty much booting everything up. So I don't know now.
Are you maxing out your memory?
Maybe. Because see, like I said, when I originally
check.
Okay, because like I said, when I originally bought this, it was just for podcasting. Well, now that I'm stumbling down this Steam link and all this other crap, you know, now I wonder if I'm not putting more to it. So then I kind of wonder, do I need to buy a separate laptop with more memory to put all that stuff on and use it strictly to stream my games?
You know. Or you might want to look at maybe a external drive that you could put your games onto the external drive instead of having them on the internal hard drive of your laptop.
Yeah, see, I wondered about that. I didn't know if that would work or not, because I could do
that. It should, depending upon the external drive you get.
Right. All right. Yeah. Well, so that is definitely something I will look into, because, like I said, I like playing my Steam games and stuff now, but I don't like the fact that it's slowing this thing way down to where there's been a couple times I've turned it on and I've got a black screen. You set let it sit for 5 minutes, still a black screen, so I power it back off and turn it back on to kick it back into gear. And sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. So I have to find out something. But anyway, and then on the audiobook side of things, I finished The Two Towers and I started The Return of the King, which is, of course, the Lord of the Rings series, because I like going over them. I don't want to read them again because they are big, gigantic books, but listening to them is a lot easier. So I've been doing that. Yes.
That brings me up a great debate question.
Right.
And the chat can chime in on this as well.
All right.
If you listen to an audiobook, are you reading the book? Can you say I read the book if you listen to an audiobook?
I used to wonder the same thing about you guys talking about them before I jumped in.
Right.
I think about it. I think it's reading in a roundabout way. I mean, it's no different than when you're a little kid and your parents are reading to you before bed. So I don't know. I count it. So,
Robin, what do you think?
It's not reading.
Yeah, I would agree.
It's somewhere in between. It is somewhere in between, but it's not reading.
Well, I mean, if I watch a YouTube video that has closed captions, I'm not going to say, oh, I read a YouTube video.
Well, no. Not necessarily. But I'm still counting it as, you know, I read the book. Because they are books.
Yeah, it's sort of, but not quite.
I think it's a different terminology. I have completed the audiobook.
Right. There you go.
Yeah.
I would say that. Maybe more so than reading it, yeah. So anyway, it still goes
Boomer
on
says
my
he thinks
list.
It counts, which then that clearly means it does not count.
Well, according to my Goodreads, it counts. Trump, so there we go. It goes towards my book reading deal for the year. Speaking of audiobooks, remember a while back I was listening to the book by Roger Clark about the cowboys and the vampires and all that. I pre-ordered the next one, which will be out in May sometime.
Yeah, I finished Hail Mary. Hail Mary. Get a Hail Mary. That's a good book to read.
I wish I had that one. I'll have to look. But yeah. I definitely
By the way, I did notice just now you said I was listening to my audiobook.
I know.
I read Hail Mary while I was driving, and it was great, and I didn't crash that much.
That's good.
And Hail Mary is – I finished it now. Really, really good, and it sort of closes it off really nicely as it's a one complete story. So Hail
it's
Mary.
A good read.
It's a brilliant read. Really good.
Oh,
I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
Anyway,
that wasn't me.
For me this week.
Oh my God, Filthy has a rubber chicken on his head now.
Oh my goodness.
Woo!
All right. Well, that brings me to my little bit.
Okay.
It was just a busy week for the most part, work-wise, so it kept me from doing a lot. But I did continue to watch the greatest game ever made into a movie, The Last of Us.
Oh.
I stand by my convictions. Good game, great television series.
I'm a bit behind because I can't watch it with the kids that we're having at the moment. So,
yeah,
but
it is good though. It's good. There was this last episode from this last week, just some crazy raw emotion.
Yeah.
That honestly, the game tries to portray. The gal that plays Ellie in this is fantastic.
Did you flood up? Did you cry?
No, I didn't cry, but it was like, holy crap. Yeah, okay. So again, having played the game, I did play The Last of Us. Thank you very much, Ginger Man. And now having watched the show, which he hasn't done, I can definitively say, I think the show is better than the game. The game was good. The show is great.
Okay.
Or if you want... Just to make sure I'm not offending the fragile. The game was great. The show, even better.
Oh, you kind of have an opinion. So did you watch The Mandarin Orange?
Yeah. okay, and The Mandalorian, nice little comeback from the previous week. I enjoyed this episode, but again, every time I'm ready to be like, okay, it's doing better, they do something dumb to bring me back out of it. And I will just say this. Again, the helmet thing is just a problem for me.
No, Joshua, I spoke to Joshua about this because he's off to the big massive Star Wars conference, and you can't really criticize this. In fact, even the monster at the there's a monster in it. He said, well, he knew exactly where that was from, so he could tell me. I said, well, how do they shave? Well, they by themselves, they can take their helmet off. Okay.
But they can't. It's dumb. It's dumb.
The best.
Because he's never been by himself this entire show, so he never takes his helmet off. By the way, he has to be stinky as hell inside that armor.
Right.
And again, eating. That's my nitpick right there.
Well,
I'm just going to leave it at that. Eating is stupid.
Did you watch
him?
He took a drink in this of some soup that he's supposed to have known about, which he didn't know because he's not a real Mandalorian, Mandarin Orange. So
it was the most awkward thing.
Yeah, it was
the
awkward thing in the world. I mean, how could you stick that? The best thing was the best thing about this is Starbuck. I mean, having Starbuck.
Starbuck was the greatest thing ever in Battlestar Galactica.
She's just class. She's just.
All right. Look, we're at the time. I think we need to wrap this up before I really get in trouble with my Mandalorian hate.
Just Bad Batch. Jay and not John.
Yeah, absolutely. Jay is wrong. John is right. All is good. We're calling Jay again, apparently.
Which one, Pete?
No, we're calling Pete now.
Pete, answer the phone. Come on, Pete. Yeah, private bathroom time. Can you imagine the private bathroom
Robin
time?
Just desperately wants somebody to answer the phone.
I do, yeah.
Sorry, you know what it is? But the person you've called.
Yeah. I'm not even going to leave Pete a message.
It's because Boomer answered the first time and now Robin's hooked. This is like his new
I know.
That's
I know.
It.
Hang on.
All right. Well, if you want to be harassed, come back next week because we'll do this again. 9 p.m. in the U.K., I don't know if you guys do your clocks next weekend or not.
I have no idea.
Good man.
Hold on.
So, 1 p.m.-ish in the U.S. Could be 2. We'll be back.
Oh.
We'll have some fun.
Oh, Pete, sorry. Yeah. Phil has the Statue of Liberty on his head now.
Give me liberty or bacon or give me death.
I like bacon. Yeah, it's funny. Anyway. Taylor has an assignment this week in home economics class where he has to do a healthy dish, and he's decided he's going to do pancakes. So Judith was asking today, because he has to get the ingredients, what is going to be in your healthy pancakes? Said, well, I want to do pancakes with syrup and some chocolate sauce. Can you explain to us what part of that is healthy? Well,
right.
Well, yeah.
I can help him out with that.
Yeah. Anyway, pancakes.
Something is better than nothing.
I want pancakes.
Starving kids in Africa would love pancakes with chocolate syrup and syrup. Chocolate syrup and syrup.
Did you hear that Mr. Beast, he done a fantastic thing a few weeks ago where he helped 1,000 people to lose, had the operation to get rid of the cataracts, and he took a lot of shit for it and for some weird reason. And he's now also went to somewhere in South Africa or somewhere in Africa and gave 20,000 or 10,000 pairs of shoes to kids that can't get to school.
Okay.
And he's still taking shit for that. I mean, what is that all about?
People just like to be grumpy, I think. They like to shit on other people. So
I don't even know who Mr. Beast is, so there's that.
Oh, dear.
But we're going to move on.
Do we know
how? Hey, Robin.
Yeah.
Shout-outs.
Oh, shit. Is that where we are right now?
That's where we're at.
I want to shout out John Mouse because he's like the star of the show. We're not even answering the phone. He sent an email. to my life, because it's class. And thank you, Lord, for giving me all the challenges and allowing, giving me the strength to get through them. And for you guys, because you are great friends. And I love you dearly. And I'm looking forward to squeezing your flesh when I arrive in the airport and arrive in Las Vegas wearing my Ricky Bobby suit, which is going to travel the Atlantic in both ways. So when you first see me, I'll be wearing Ricky Bobby outfit. It's going to be. Right. So that's the best traveled Ricky Bobby outfit probably there's ever been.
Kim.
Alrighty, I'm going to shout out our chatters real quick. We've had Boomer and Lord and Snuggins.
Lord, Snuggins.
Yeah. Playing skills and, of course, our buddy Gergarious, yours. So who is the founder of LAG, which I'm also a part of. So thanks, you guys, for stopping by and keeping us entertained in the chat box. I appreciate it. A shout out to you guys, as always. I needed the mental health day, as you can probably tell. I don't know. Here's to next week. That is hopefully a little better than this week. Hopefully I don't have another screaming person yelling at me because I bought their phone and it was too small. Who knew that was a problem? I didn't. So, you know. Anyway, that's it for me. Over to you there, Greggles.
All right. Well, I'm going to keep this brief and short. Thank you to the two of you for joining us. Anytime. Literally, my son is just now getting dropped off from daycare, so it's perfect timing.
Nice.
Shout out to the community. We love you. Thank you guys for joining us each and every week. We'll be back next weekend. And do something good. You know, do a random act of kindness. Next time you're out for dinner,
find somebody dinner. Send me money.
No. I literally did this. We bought a couple's dinner. They had no idea who we were. We did it anonymously. We got the waiter that was serving their table.
Oh, wow. Lovely.
We bought them dinner.
Lovely.
And we told them not to tell who we were. So they were looking around trying to
forever.
Figure it out. It was kind of funny.
Forever yeah. They'll be freaking yeah. out of it. That yeah.
Yeah. So, you know what? Every once in a while, random acts of kindness actually do happen. Mm-hmm. All right. Take us away, Robin.
Where do you want to go?
Goodbye.
Hey, goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.